to the Unscripted Podcast. This is Caitlin. Each episode, my Uncle Aaron interviews guests that are living their lives unscripted. The song you are hearing is the music from our dear friends, Tori and Shauna. You can find their music wherever you stream your favorite songs. For now, from his studio, here's my Uncle Aaron.
Hi, everybody. Welcome back to Unscripted from my studios here in Hilliard, Ohio. Returning guest. I always like returning guests because that means that they've been on once and they've told their story. So, hey, Tim, can you just introduce yourself and we'll start from there.
Yeah. Hi, it's great to be back. You know, it's Tim Mahoney and I am the founder of Patterns of Evidence series of films. And I helped to develop those looking for patterns of evidence of God acting in history and through archaeology and the Bible. And then another company that actually made those films is called Thinking Man Films. And Thinking Man Films has been making films that are for people who want to think, you know, who have questions. I love asking and learning about parts of the past, the history, our origins. And there's a lot of people like me that do that. And what provoked me into making these types of films was I started hearing from certain scholars that there wasn't any evidence for the Bible. And that then caused me to go, well, why do you say that? And I ended up going to Egypt, you know, back in 2002, and it went to the locations where the events of the Exodus, the story of the Bible, the second book of the Bible was recording that these people called the Israelites live there, and that Exodus means to leave, to exit, and that God had called them back to the promised land that was promised to Abraham, who's a very famous patriarch of two religions, and probably could say three. You know, he's the father of Judaism. Muslims claim him as well as Christians, Father Abraham. And so that began this numerous investigations searching for evidence of the Bible. And what led me to be on your show today is that there's a film called The Seven Churches of Revelation. And so what we've been doing is looking at history of biblical events. And so I spent a lot of time looking at the past, and a filmmaker saw my first film, Christoph Hanover, in France. He got inspired. He was actually an engineer, and he decided to go to Turkey with a camera crew and kind of copy what I did. And that's how we got here. This film is coming out in theaters on March 10th and 11th. It's two films. One's called The Seven Churches of Revelation, Times of Fire. And the other one is on March 17th and 18th. It's called The Seven Churches of Revelation, Times of Deception. And we're going to look into the future. And so, Aaron, I just was at the movies last night. I saw the movie Dune. And a lot of people are, all the trailers, I'm telling you, there's a lot going on. And a lot of people are fearful about what the future holds. And that's why I think these films are really timely.
100%, because I think we need to lean into history. And, you know, I mean, there's Hollywood, right? And then there's history. There's actual biblical history. And yeah. So I'm thankful for this. I grew up in the 80s. And so, you know, it was every other weekend that every pastor thought that the end of the world was coming. And I know we've been talking about this for a long time, but I have a feeling anyone listening to the podcast knows that where we are in history, if you're paying attention, there's a lot happening right now. Cryptocurrency, one current, you know, there's a lot happening. And I'm sure for, you know, ages upon ages, people have been talking about the end times, but there's a lot happening right now. And I'm probably speaking for you in that there's a lot happening right now in history, the streets you've walked, the places you've been, you know, this history. So I'm really interested in this conversation today, especially the seven churches of Revelation and what scripture has to say, because at the end of the day, scripture is undefeated and, you know, it's God breathed. And if we lean into that and we listen to that and we believe in it, then I think we have to really pay attention to history. And so I'm so interested to have you on today and what, you know, this film really, and really just get your insight into what you've learned.
Yeah. I also have been fascinated by the past, the present, and the future. And right. I think that there are things, if you are a person who has any biblical knowledge, you're going to know that there are certain things to watch for. I'm working on another film, not to confuse this, you know, today's talk about the seven churches, but about, sure. It's going to be called The Israel Dilemma. It's been shot. I've been filming it for the last 20 years. What is the Israel Dilemma? Is that, in fact, I began this conversation by talking about the Exodus. So what ends up happening is that of all the nations of the world, God chooses a nation, a people. He chooses a man, Abraham, and it says from his descendants that he's going to bless all the nations. And what we have seen is the unfolding of Scripture over time. All the books of the Bible were written by people from Israel, Jewish background. They were the chosen people. And what we've noticed now is that we've seen prophecies that have that were given. I know that these prophecies have been fulfilled because they were written and found from a much earlier time, and then they've come to be. And the challenge is that a lot of people are either don't know that this is what's happening, they don't want to know, or they're not interested. They, in fact, I was listening to Frank Turek. He just said that a number of people, even if Christianity was true, they wouldn't want it, because they want to do what they want to do.
Right.
And I think that that's what we're coming to. The challenge, I think, for a lot of us is in this film that's coming out, The Seven Churches, as I've looked at it and as I was sending a letter out, I actually wrote a letter and sent it out yesterday to hundreds of thousands of people. And it was, are we prepared? Are each of us really prepared for the coming of Christ? And so I started my film investigations, you know, in 2002, searching for the Exodus and God making these people, these Israelites, these people that are descendants of Abraham into a nation. And they go to Mount Sinai and they make a covenant. A covenant is a legal agreement. And what's interesting is that there are laws. The laws are given at Mount Sinai as to how these people are supposed to live. And they really, in many ways, there are specific laws for Jewish people, but they're almost like universal laws that are given. But one of the things that's interesting is that God makes this covenant, which means an agreement. And there are neighborhoods that have like covenants, and it's like we all agree that this is what we're going to do, and this is the way we're going to have our neighborhood. Mm-hmm. Well, God makes this covenant with these people, and they renew it again later at when they're going to go into the promised land. And why this is important is the covenant says that if they continue to obey God and serve him, he will bless them. But if they disobey him, he will destroy them as a nation. They will be cast out of the nation. They will be persecuted, but in the future, they will return to the land. And guess what? That has happened twice in the history of the nation of Israel. Mm-hmm. So the next movie I'm making is called The Israel Dilemma. Israel has come back to the land now in 1948. And we're almost at, let's see, how many years would that be now? 48 to 20, you know, 24. Let's see, that's 50.
76.
All right, 76.
Yeah, is that right? Yeah.
Something like that.
So good.
Something like that.
Something like that.
So they have been in the land for, and many people see that this is a barometer, because Jesus, when he was around, they you know, the disciples asked him about, you know, the nation, and I believe he alluded it to being a fig tree, and he cursed it, and it died. And he says, well, when will these things come, you know, to be in? It's when the tree comes back to life, and Israel's come back to life. But now look at it. I haven't gotten into all this, and we're talking about the seven churches of Revelation, but I can't avoid not talking about the nation of Israel.
Absolutely.
And Aaron, what are your thoughts about that?
Yeah, I mean, you know, at the end of the day, again, I grew up in the 80s, and so my knowledge of Scripture and world events has always been pay attention to Israel.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I think it was 6 months ago, I believe I heard this morning that started the conflict there. And, yeah. You know, and so anytime there's been anything in the Middle East in general, but also in Israel, you know, your antennas should go up. And so, yeah. You know, I mean, I grew up in a time when everybody gave this dates when, hey, this is the end of the world and be ready. And, you know, but I am very interested in your insight and take on this, because you've been there, you've walked the streets, you've created films, and you've studied. I'm not the guy to ask about these things. I'm just a guy that like, I think most of my listeners probably know that we've heard about end time dates. But at the end of the day, scripture says we don't know the time or day, but it also scripture also gives us some clear signs. And I think that, you know, and I think if you study scripture enough and you listen and read, you realize, yeah, things are evolving and they're evolving faster than they ever have. So when we look at this, the movies, and if I was to attend the film, you know, the Seven Churches of Revelation, what am I going to encounter? What am I going to learn there?
Great question. This has been the most helpful. This film, as I said, came out of France. I don't know if I said that, but Christoph Hanover produced this, and then I helped him make it into two feature films. You're going to go to the actual location where the vision was given. And why don't we help people along a little bit? I'm going to go to, I was just looking here at my Bible Gateway. I was going to go to the exact location. I've been jumping around because I've got so many verses in my mind right now. Mm-hmm. But I'll be there in just one second. Bible Gateway, Revelation 2. And what happens is that the only surviving apostle is John. And he receives this revelation, and we're going to go to that location of the island of Patmos. And this is a message. It's a vision of Christ and that he's been given. And you're going to actually see the location. You're going to see the tomb. I mean, sorry, not the tomb, but the cave where John was, what they believe that was the location where he was imprisoned, meaning that was his shelter. And he's basically says that he has this vision, and it says, write therefore what you have seen, what is now and what will take place later. And he ends up, there are the seven stars are angels of the seven churches, and the seven lampstands are the seven churches. And he gets these messages. The first one goes to the church of Ephesus. So the film, there's two films, as I said. The first one is on March 10th and 11th, and that's the Seven Churches of Revelation, Times of Fire. Now, I call it Times of Fire. We gave it that name because of what the persecution is for some of these churches. They're under great persecution. And the first church we go to is Ephesus. And I find that really, really interesting because we don't realize what the Apostle Paul, when we read the book of Acts and we're comfortably sitting in a suburban church or wherever you are reading some of these things, you have no clue until you start to go. If you go on this in this film, which I'm urging you to go to see this film, it's going to help you, I think, turn up the flame of your own walk with the Lord, because there are warnings to these churches. And some of these churches, for example, Ephesus, it says, and this sounds really good, but before we get there, I want to just share with you something. The Apostle Paul was there, and he started to share and speak. And it says in Acts chapter 19, Paul went to Ephesus, and, you know, they hadn't really had as much. He started to preach, you know, and he was making a kind of a scene there with people coming to faith, you know. And I'm just looking here. When this became known, let's see, I'll just read this order. Some Jews who went around driving out evil spirits tried to invoke the name of Jesus, of a demon possessed. They would say, in the name of Jesus, whom Paul preaches, I command you to come out. And these sons of priests were trying to do that. But one day this evil spirit answered them, Jesus I know and Paul I know, but who are you? And then this man went after these guys and overpowered them. And he gave them a beating, and they ran out of the house naked and bleeding. So there's spiritual activity happening in Ephesus. But when it became known to the Jews and Greeks living in Ephesus, they were seized with fear, and the name of the Lord Jesus was held in high honor. And many of those who believed now came and openly confessed what they had done. A number who had practiced sorcery brought their scrolls together and burned them publicly. And it was worth a lot of money. And so the word of the Lord was preached widely there. And what ends up happening is that Paul has such a powerful experience there that he causes a disturbance. And you're going to see where this disturbance was held. You know, there's an amphitheater there. And he ends up causing a riot. Mm-hmm. And what was fascinating for me is I have been to a lot of places in the Middle East, but I have never really been to these areas and seen these things. But you're going to see what happens because we're at the same place culturally right now. We've got a lot of activity that is not from the Lord, and it's like coming head to head, and it's spiritual, it's principalities, it's a lot of things that are happening that the early church was experiencing. And what we see is that this church in Ephesus, it was good in a lot of ways, but what had happened, and I'll go back to what the angel said. He says, listen, I know your deeds, your hard work, and your perseverance. I know that you cannot tolerate wicked people, that you have tested those who claim to be apostles but are not and found them false, and you persevered and have endured hardships for my name and have not grown weary. And I'm thinking, they got a really good A, like that's an A on the report card. But Aaron, what ends up happening is that the angel says this, yet I hold this against you. You have forsaken the love you had at first. Mm. Consider how far you have fallen.
So I was in church yesterday morning, and there was, and I'm not knocking any church USA. I'm really not. We're doing the best we can, I think. And I think we're in a cultural world that is about content and TikToks. And, you know, we're competing against the enemy in many ways and trying to produce and live. We're trying to be of the world, but not. Or we're trying to be in the world, but not of it, I think, as Christ said. So I get it. But yesterday I was sitting in church, and there was a smoke machine putting out smoke onto the stage as our pastor spoke, and there were lights. And I'm like, I thought about what you just said. But and you and I hadn't even talked yet. But at that moment, I just thought about what would Paul write to today's church? You know, what letter would he write? And so you have visited. Have you physically visited these seven churches? And
no.
What do they look like today?
Well, I have not. That's why in this particular case, I've spent most of my time in Egypt, Jordan, Saudi, and Israel, working on another part of the scriptures. Christoph Hanover, this really wonderful brother, French believer, and I kidded him. I said, I can't believe it. You're saying a French person is making a film about the Bible?
Right.
I was kind of like one of those things when Jesus said, can anything good come out of, you know, Nazareth or whatever? Right. I was joking him. Can any, you know, Christian thing come out of France, you know? But praise God, Christoph went there. And so that's why I appreciate it, because he dug into it. He extended the work that I was doing and carried it, took it upon himself, felt that the Lord was calling him to do this. And so he went with the crew, and they did a beautiful job. So we're going to take you to the Church of Ephesus, and we're going to see the archaeology. You're going to know the context, and you're going to see how that relates to today. And you're going to see what they were faced with. And then you can ask yourself, okay, have I forsaken the love that I had at first? Mm. And I was, you know, grew up in the Jesus Revolution time period. And I mean, there's a period of time when, you know, people were just hot, you know, they were just serving God. They were on fire. And what does it say in this particular one? You have forsaken the love you had at first. You can, how far you've fallen, repent and do not, you know, do the things you did at first. It says, if you do not repent, I will come to you and remove your lampstand from its place. Mm. Now, that's a scary thought. I think we don't know the seriousness of all this. And, you know, Aaron, yesterday when I sent this letter out, it says here in Matthew, Jesus, when he talks about the disciples say, when are you going to come? You know, when will this happen? What will be the sign of your coming and the end of the age? Because we're in an age right now, and this age it could be considered the last days. From the time that Christ left, you know, these last 2,000 years, these last days were at an age. And Jesus says, watch out that no one deceives you, for many will come in my name claiming I am a Messiah and will deceive many. But because of the increase of wickedness, the love of most will grow cold, but the one who stands firm to the end will be saved. And so that's a scary thought.
It is.
That we could be, you know, like make our, you know, confession, but then our love grows cold. That's the reason why I think this film is important for all of us right now. And there are oftentimes problems with making films about the book of Revelation or any of that, because there's an eschatology that divides churches and divides people. This doesn't have the eschatology in it. This has the historical, archaeological context. It talks about what was happening then, and then what is, I think, parallels, because I believe that this is helpful to look at these churches and say, am I in this situation?
Mm-hmm.
Because the warning is the same. And I think we're getting closer and closer to the return of Christ.
Mm-hmm. Without doubt. So before we get any further, how do people find the film?
All right. So the film can be found by going to BibleCinemaRoadshowFilms.com. 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 Yeah, sorry, it's a long word, but it's because it's a specific link to get the tickets. You can watch a trailer, and it shows on a Sunday, so it's a Sunday afternoon matinee and an evening showing, and then a Monday showing, both March 10th and 11th for the first film, Times of Fire, and the 17th and 18th for the second film, Times of Deception. And this is a great film to bring your Sunday school class, your Bible study group, your friends. Now, this film has been playing in France, and it's been on mainstream, network.
Mm-hmm.
France, because they're interested in biblical content, and they're curious about the future. So that I'm thankful that curiosity has led them to that.
Yeah.
What's interesting, too, is I pulled up the script. I was just looking up on the second church at Pergamum. Smyrna. And this particular church, and why it relates to today is, for a lot of us here in America, we have things very, very comfortable, but there are believers that are really, really struggling in other parts of the world, and we are oblivious to them. And I've started to become more interested in, supporting the voice of the martyrs, but it could be the other way around. We could be living on this side of the world where persecution could come. But this particular church, the cities themselves worshiped idols. Now, Ephesus worshiped Artemis. And what can happen is we can culturally have a culture, and right now we're seeing this, where everyone needs to bend the knee to a cultural thing.
Mm-hmm.
And whatever that is, sexual activities, or they want everyone to basically say, this is what you need to do. And we're faced that right now. And it's all the way through the educational system and everything. And I think people know what I'm talking about. And what ends up happening is that if your spiritual conviction is that that's not what I believe, then you are persecuted for that.
Mm-hmm.
It's not going along. Well, the same is true with the early church. And that's why I think it says here, do not be afraid of what you're about to suffer. This is the message to the church of Smyrna. I tell you, the devil will put some of you in prison to test you. And you will suffer persecution. It says, be faithful even to the point of death, and I will give you the victor's crown.
Mm.
It's interesting because it says then each church was like, had this, whoever has ears, let them hear what the Spirit says to the churches. The one who is victorious will not be hurt at all by the second death. Now, I want to just say something to people. I think we can take our faith so casual. We don't realize that there is a second death coming, and it is the one to be feared, not the first death, because that's the eternal death.
Mm-hmm.
And as we talked about it, we just had a tragedy in our family. One of my relatives was just told that they had cancer. He went into the ER just because he had a stomach problem, and within 9 days, they died of this cancer. It was so accelerated. And I've heard more and more people are getting cancers and they're dying. But so the funeral is this week, and whenever I stand in front of those, the casket, and I look at that loved one or that friend, for your audience, you know that the person is gone.
Mm-hmm.
They're gone, because that's just the shell.
Right.
Our spirit is eternal. And when this warning is that whoever has ears, let him hear what the Spirit says. The one who's victorious will not be hurt at all by the second death. We will stand before the Lord. So we're at serious business here, and we want to basically have eternal life. When you think about it, the fact that we get to have eternal life. And so why am I saying is that I would use this film as a way to open the door for prodigals. That's why I created the Bible Cinema Roadshow. The Bible Cinema Roadshow is a perfect opportunity to go to a public location and you know, a safe place for people to go and watch a movie. And they're going to go on a historical investigation on the book of Revelation. And it could open up a conversation, a dialogue. So see this as an opportunity to open the spiritual question about the future and what's happening. And we also have a panel discussion after each of these films. And this particular one in the first film was shot at the Bible Museum. And we're going to be talking about, you know, about the film and about how it relates to today.
So you've given the links. I have two maybe difficult questions for you. First of all, you have walked these streets. You have
Are these unscripted questions?
They are absolutely unscripted questions. All right. Always welcome to the unscripted podcast. So you've been there, you've seen that, you've done that. You have walked these streets. Has your faith been strengthened or weakened in what you've seen and recorded and filmed?
Okay, so I would tell you that if anyone's seen my work, in the very beginning, I went to Egypt to the Exodus locations, and I was told that there wasn't any evidence. And that was a 12-year investigation. And I almost had, I mean, I had a crisis of faith in that first time because I had people of authority telling me there's no evidence for this. And after I was able to overcome that, because I started to see it in a different way, it was a supernatural event that happened and was opened my eyes to another scholar who had shown a pattern, and that began my investigation in the patterns. So my feet have walked through Egypt, through Sinai, through the Jordan, through Saudi Arabia, and through Israel. But I have not gone to the Church of Ephesus. That's why this is such an important piece. But I will tell you that all the places that I've been, as well as other places that have evidence, has absolutely strengthened my faith to the point where I can tell you that there is an amazing pattern of evidence. There are so many patterns of evidence that show that God has been acting in history. The next one really is prophetic, and I'm working now, moving towards things that have been written in the past and are coming true. And when you look at that pattern, the scientific probabilities are amazing that you would have these things happening. There's many, many patterns of God acting in history. And the thing that I find interesting about the seven churches is that it's telling us what's going to happen in the future. Mm. And I think the best solution is to draw close in our relationship with the Lord and to learn from these warnings to these seven churches, because there I see that we are dealing with a spiritual war, and it manifests itself in people at the Church of Smyrna, which was the one that was suffering. I have the script on this, but Polycarp was a, and what ended up happening was that he would not worship the emperor, you know, and he was, he was faithful to his faith. And I'm just looking here, trying to make sure I find the right spot. And we're going to show you this location. The emperor literally lit up the streets by putting Christians on, like crosses, wrapping them and burning them in tar. And this Polycarp was a faithful believer, and he would not turn from his faith. He says he was told that he came to the governor. The governor said, "You're an old man, save yourself. All you need to do is burn incense to the emperor, and you will be spared." So he said, "You don't have to worship, but just burn some incense." Mm-hmm. You see, the culture was trying to force him to do something that was against his faith. People, we're at the same place right now. Mm. The culture wants us to bend the knee. Mm-hmm. This is the same activity that's been going on throughout centuries. And we can't do that. We can't compromise our faith. And Polycarp said this. I cried when I heard this. For 86 years, I have served the Lord, and he has done me no wrong. How then could I blaspheme the Lord who saved me? Mm-hmm. And so he was supposed to be burned alive, but the flames did not touch him, so they resorted to dagger. So they stabbed Polycarp in the side and killed him. And everyone was singing praise to God. You know, so you know what? There are all sorts of Polycarps throughout history
right.
that we have, you right. know, that are there. And what I'm saying is that this film, these films are wake up call to what was going on. And I find them unusually coming out of France, of all places, that God would take some place that you would not think there would be a message of Christ's return out of a place like France. And it's all in English, and it's all amazingly beautiful, stunning. And you're going to get an awful lot out of this. But I think the messages are so significant to prayerfully attend this. And like I said, bring family members. And so I asked myself, am I lukewarm? Like the second film is going to talk about, you're going to learn what the history was behind this message about the lukewarm church. And when you go to the actual the locations and you start seeing that, wow, this is quite the place and this really happened and these were the messages to them. And that's why it's so important for us, I think, to go to this film. The Laodicea church, it says, these are the words, the faithful and true witness, the ruler of God's creation. I know your deeds, that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish you were either one or the other. So because you are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I'm going to spit you out of my mouth.
Right.
Wow. Right. You know what the thing was, is you're going to learn that this was a very wealthy church.
Mm.
They had money. They didn't need anything. But do you not realize that you are wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked?
Mm.
Now, a lot of people are good. You know, you just have to look at ourselves and say, am I that person? Am I lukewarm? Am I kind of like making it to the Sunday service when I can go and just sort of going along, and then we're going to go out to lunch afterwards, and I'm going to go and watch a football game? And is my faith lukewarm? Do I even care about the people are serving me, that they're lost,
right?
You know?
Right.
And so I just think it's so appropriate that we take a moment here, because what happens if we have another worldwide
pandemic
event?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then I'll tell you what's really scary is it says that, you know, if we look at it, Jesus is warning, you know, 2000 years ago, he says, the love of most will grow cold, but the one who stands firm to the end will be saved. And the reason why I say, you know, bring your friends and family, it says in the book of Revelation, it says, look, he is coming with clouds, and every eye will see him, and even those who pierced him, and all the peoples of the earth will mourn because of him. And I said, why are they mourning? It's because they weren't prepared.
Right, right.
You know?
Right. Okay, links one more time, and then I have one more difficult question for you. I told you I had two, so I got one more for you. Links one more time.
Okay, BibleCinemaRoadshowFilms.com. BibleCinemaRoadshowFilms.com.
And is there one? There's another one. Was there another one that you were working on too?
Well, Times of Fire and Times of Deception are the ones that we're coming out with right now. That's for March 10th, 11th, and March 17th and 18th. And Aaron, yes, I'm working on the Israel Dilemma. We're trying to raise money for that. If people are interested, the Israel Dilemma is really about the relationship that God has with Israel. We're going to show the archaeology through history of the temple. We're going to show the destruction of Israel. We're going to show the return, the persecution, the Holocaust. We're going to move back to the coming a nation. And then obviously what just happened in October 7th this last year and the escalation. And when you think about that, we look at some of the verses that are out there And I think it is the book of Zechariah. Mm. It says, on the day when all the nations of the earth are gathered against her, this is talking about Israel, it says, I'm going to make Jerusalem a cup that sends all the surrounding peoples reeling. Judah will be besieged as well as Jerusalem. And I will make Jerusalem an immovable rock for all nations, and all who try to move it will injure themselves. And on that day, I will strike every horse with panic and its rider with madness, declares the Lord. I will keep a watchful eye over the house of Judah, but I will blind all the horses of the nations. Well, when has that ever happened?
Right.
Well, it's happening. It's starting to happen. We're starting to see this turning against Israel, the United Nations. And we've lost, in some ways, those watchmen. Yeah, I think you and I grew up with guys who were much more tuned in, mm-hmm. but we tend to be New Testament centric, and we don't know what the prophecies are. But God still, I believe, has a covenant with the nation of Israel. It says that we are, that they're the root, and we're just grafted in.
Mm-hmm.
And so that film, The Israel Dilemma, is really the question of, it's not so much a dilemma for Israel as it is for the rest of us. What are we going to do? How are we going to side up here? Are we going to basically stand with Israel, or are we going to stand against Israel?
BibleRoadshowFilms.com. Please find the films. Please, please, please. And so that does lead me to my last question, because the Israel one was a question that didn't count. All right, my last question for you. You've walked these streets. You've studied what you've studied. You've learned what you've learned. What scares you the most in the world right now?
What was the question again?
What scares you the most in the world right now?
What scares me the most in the world right now? I think the fact that believers don't realize the kind of power that they have. They don't understand that they are actually have the presence and the power of God in their hearts and lives, and they don't know who they are, and that we could be speaking and acting in ways that are so powerful, but we don't know it because we're distracted. And if we are distracted, or we are not following the Lord, then we're in a dangerous place. So I think what scares me is the fact that myself and all of us can be not realizing that the scriptures have given us a sword of which we need to appropriately understand and realize that that's very powerful. You know, it's sharper than any two-edged sword. So I think what's scary is that there are that believers that don't really believe, they're more like agnostic. They got more questions about God than they have. And they're not example, they're not good, not living in a way that basically is to the full potential of what they need to be. Right. And then the result is that there's a lot of people around them that are lost because they're not being that light.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's how we got to this place. And it's a battle, and it's been a battle in every century. So there's always going to be wars and rumors of wars and things like that. If you study history, you know, it's been happening. But it's the people that have been able to stand up and live their life in a full way that's so significant. And that's where we need to get to. And so that's why if you go to BibleCinemaRoadshowFilms.com, BibleCinemaRoadshowFilms.com, this will be a way for you to get your fire going again.
Because, listen, we're inundated with TikToks and Reels and Snaps and whatever else we want to call them, X's and Twitters and Facebooks. And there's a lot of content out there. But what's really important that I hope everybody's hearing in this interview is we need to have content that's real from people who have been there. And that's why I'm so thankful to interview you and to talk to you about, we don't need a guy, and I apologize because I'm a content creator myself. I don't need a guy sitting in his studio in Hilliard, Ohio, putting out content, telling me what to do and when the last day on earth is going to be. What we need is people that have walked the streets, that have studied scripture, and I'm not saying that you know or don't know the day, because scripture tells us we don't, but at least let's educate ourselves appropriately with history, not just my take on this. You know, do you know what I'm saying? Yeah. So I'm so thankful for your time and your study and your passion for this. And for those that don't believe, this is our wake-up call. This is it. Like, if we don't believe now, then you're not paying attention. I think and I'm not even being political. I'm saying if you're not paying attention, then the danger signs are everywhere.
I think the other thing is that we have lots of prodigals out there. Listen, if you're listening and you've walked away from this, but you're kind of, you know, you're whatever reason you were offended or you've suffered and you have these big questions, a lot of people walk away from God because of suffering. What I learned was a lot of the scholars that I would talk with, they grew up in Christian homes and then they found a reason not to believe. And it might have been that they had a problem and they suffered. I think even Darwin lost a daughter. And so you start to look at other things. Mm-hmm. And what ends up happening is Satan, it's understanding you can be a smart person, but actually be foolish because you don't really understand that this is the fallen world.
Right.
This is not, if you understand the bigger story. And what's important is that story is how God communicates to us, but it's also how Satan communicates. So what ends up happening is if you look at you look through the centuries, every culture had a mythology, and those mythologies were given by demonic interaction. Moses tells us that if you worship idols, you're worshiping demons. And there's more to be said. There's more going on here than you realize. But when thoughts come into your mind and thoughts come to people that this isn't true, just as when Eve was in the garden, and Satan came to her and said, did God really say that you're not to eat of this
branch? Who told you that? Right.
Yeah, exactly. So, Aaron, I want those people that are out there that are just wondering, is this true or whatever? Where are those thoughts coming from? Don't you realize that you are a spiritual being that is being communicated to by spiritual beings? Yeah. They're invisible, but they're communicating and putting thoughts in your head. And they're putting thoughts into a lot of other people that create story that distract you or lead you to a different mythology. So you have mythologies of how we were created, which are evolutionary. And I can tell you that if you're really interested in the truth, those don't hold up because scientifically there's not enough DNA in the world, in the universe, to make the math possible. Just check up Gerald Schroeder and some of the work that he's done. He changed the leading atheist to become an agnostic because his arguments were correct. There's many, many reasons that people want to give, and I call them excuses not to follow God, but they're not going to stand up, and they don't stand up. If you're really, really honest about this, and your soul is in jeopardy right now, I think it's pretty important that people know if you're sitting on the fence, your soul is in jeopardy. Your eternal life is in jeopardy. There's a movie that just came out called After Death. After Death. People should look that film up because it's a completely medical investigation about what has happened to people who have died and what they've seen. And they've moved into either a very dark place or into heaven. And those people have returned. But that's a scientifically documented, you can't get around it, of what happens when people's bodies, their spirit leaves their body. So the warnings that we have in Revelation, though, are concerning. Because even when Christ told the parable, I think, of the 10 virgins, you know, the 10 of them were waiting for the bridegroom. But their oil ran out for half of them, and they went looking for it. Well, what is that all about? That's a theological question, but all I can tell you is that I don't want to be having my oil run out when Christ returns.
Yeah.
And that's why this is a warning to prodigals, and it's a warning to people in the church. Our heart's in the right place, and that's why I think, you know, I've got kids and grandkids, and what do you try to do is you're trying to keep them alive and trying to keep them safe and everything.
Right.
So you give them warnings, you know, and that's what this is. We have a warning about what's coming, and we just need to be awake for it.
Man, I love your passion. I love your heart. I love your that you've given a lot. You've dedicated your life to this now, and this is your passion for what you just said. And so I'm so thankful, and I'm thankful that you came back on because, again, I can be influenced by TikTok very easily. I really can. I mean, or Reels or whatever news channel I watch, because they're all different, and I'm not being political. I'm just saying that's just the media we consume. Let's just call it media in general. What we consume is what we believe. And so I'm so thankful for your passion and your time and your energy and just your resources that you've put into films like this, because we've got to get to the truth. And that's, I think, what so many people honestly crave is just the truth. I don't care what they say on channels anymore. I just want the truth. Like, you know what I mean? And I think it's very, very difficult. And the reality is most of us, because it's the number one selling book ever, have it in our home. The truth is here and the history is there to back it up. And you have gone and researched this history. So I'm thankful for you as my guest, my friend. And man, I just one last time, the link. So people go out and please, please, please look, you're going to do something that weekend, these two weekends. If you got to do something, go see these, like go find it, go watch it, because it's so important, man. It's so important.
Aaron, one of the things that I've taken to is the fact that I work in different categories. And one of the things I've learned is that most people don't share the gospel with anybody. Mm-hmm. They keep it to themselves. And so discipleship is something that, or just sharing our faith. And what could be easier than going to a movie?
Right.
So my encouragement, if you're a businessman or whatever, buy some tickets, buy extras, and invite people.
Love it.
And try. Because that's what you can do. So if you're a Bible study, if you're a small group, if you've got a Sunday school class, I'm going to bring my grandkids. Mm-hmm. And we're going to be opening up that spiritual conversation, because what? They are watching all sorts of other stuff. Mm-hmm. The acceleration of story and of things because of phones, because of the screen time is incredible. So what we've seen is that all sorts of mythical things and untrue and distortion is happening at a higher level than ever before in the history of mankind. Mm-hmm. And I think it's intentional. Mm-hmm. And that's why we have to break through that. And so I would just say, please come, BibleCinemaRoadshowFilms.com. And if you're a businessman, buy tickets. You could buy a theater. You can actually go there and look for group tickets. You can get a hold of us, and we'll help you. So anyway, once again, I'm just repeating this, but I think it's an important thing. It certainly impacted me to want to be more intentional about keeping my faith on fire for the Lord, because that's the best thing. The best way to prepare is to have our hearts close to the Lord and on fire and listening to what he wants us to do. And that means we can't listen to the other things.
Right.
And that means we have to, you know, take ourselves out of those other medias. And so anyway.
Yeah. A lot of noise in the world, but thankful for people like yourself who are sounding the alarm within that noise that we got to pay attention. Man, I appreciate you so much. Thank you so much for being my guest.
Thank you, Aaron, for having me.
Absolutely.
Anytime.
All right, last time. One more time. Link.
Where to go?
Yes. Where to go?
All right. All right. Thank you.
Absolutely.
Oh, the movie location is BibleCinemaRoadshowFilms.com.
All right.
Thanks.
Get there. Thank you, my friend.
Thank you for listening to another episode of The Unscripted Podcast. Make sure to review and share wherever you listen to your podcast. It really helps out our mission to encourage everyone to live life unscripted. Until next time, keep living life unscripted.